السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين أوفوا عهده. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, dearest brothers, beloved youngsters, if you have finished your sunnah and witr, please come forward. The Sahaba, when they used to sit, they would sit so close that if a leaf was to fall from a tree, it wouldn't land on the ground, it would land in their laps. We have a jama'at here, alhamdulillah, we are blessed. The jama'at is from Hull. And one of the efforts of the jama'at brothers is that they bring the ummah close together. And this is an extremely, extremely important effort that's going on around the world, mostly silently. They don't make much noise. They don't take much credit. But the reality is that the effort that they make is bringing the ummah together. Jod. Ummat mein jod paida karna ye hamare buzurgon ka kaam tha. And whomsoever is utilized for this work, they are extremely blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept ours and their efforts, inshaAllah. Today's program is for our suffering brothers and sisters in Palestine. We all know what's going on at the moment, but we are blessed, alhamdulillah, to have two honorable guests here. One, Abu Muhammad, who we have had the pleasure of working with and under his supervision for the last, I have been with the organization for the last 14 years. And Abu Muhammad has been my mentor, and he has guided me and assisted me in a lot of the things that the organization has done. Alhamdulillah, Abu Muhammad, whose name is Majdi Aqil, he has one son, Muhammad. And this one son, mashallah, is like 10. He's hafiz of Quran. And I'll tell you a bit about tahfiz al-Quran and the people of Gaza. Imam al-Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, was from Gaza himself. He was blessed with an extremely good memory. And Imam al-Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, and Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he was from what they call today al-Asqalan, or in Hebrew, Ashkalon, and which is engulfed at this moment in time in the conflict and the so-called war. The reality is it's not a war. But Abu Muhammad will speak to you about that. Without taking much more time, there are two cultures of Gaza that are celebrated. The culture of Tahfiz al-Quran. Every home, or every second home, has at least one or two children that are hafiz of Quran. And recently, every year, there has been, the practice that in the masajid they get together, and mainly one of the big masjids in Gaza, which has now been bombed in this conflict. And the mothers and sisters get together and they will recite the whole of the Quran off by heart from the beginning all the way to the end. Try in one sitting. And the brothers and the elders get together in the masjid, and they are known for this. This is their culture. And they celebrate the fact that every house or second house has more than one hafiz, alhamdulillah. And another culture that they celebrate is the culture of istishhad, martyrdom. And we have been seeing this from the beginning of the occupation since 1948, and especially during the last 17 years in the siege of Gaza. Abu Muhammad will speak to you about that. We are lucky that we have him with us today. And our second guest is Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt, who, alhamdulillah, accepted Islam in 1981. Allah blessed him with the ni'mah of Iman, alhamdulillah, and he has visited Palestine a number of times. He is or was the chairman of Interpol from 1997 to the year 2000. And he has been my mentor and my guide in a lot of things. Alhamdulillah, I take advice from him. Allah elevate both of their statuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them with us so that we may benefit from them. Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt is also the senior editor of the Middle East Monitor, the newspaper. And you will find that online. I request that you keep yourself aware of the situation of the Ummah, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa minna," he's not from amongst us, that person who is not concerned with the affairs of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we must keep ourselves informed and try to look at these newspapers like the Middle East Monitor, the Middle East Eye, and keep in touch with Al Jazeera. They are some of the most authentic news sources at this moment in time. And Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt is also the founder of Al-Aqsa School in Leicester. And I believe our Imam Sahib, who led Salah, is Farig from Leicester. Is that right? Yeah, he studied in Leicester. So without any further ado, we will call our Sheikh Abu Muhammad. He will give us a recent update. Okay. There is some brother that wants to... Brother Yusuf. He wants to perform a nasheed. Jazakallah khair. I forgot to mention that he has a strong connection. He has a strong connection with Batli. Allah says in the Quran, Nasaban wa Sihra. There are two relationships. Do rishte hain jo bahut hi zyada mubarak hai. Ek nasab ka. One relationship is that of family blood, bloodline, and the other relationship is when we marry into a family. And Allah Azza wa Jal refers to in the Quran as sihr. Yeah? Hurmat al-Musahara. But anyway, Sheikh Ibrahim is married from South Africa and he has relations in Batli. And we were unlucky today that he didn't join us for a meal this afternoon because he said he has a responsibility towards his relatives in Batli. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a realization of our responsibilities. Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt will be talking about our responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and what we must do. So that's the theme today. Abu Muhammad will give us an update and what's happening in Gaza, and Ibrahim Hewitt will tell us about responsibility. Now we'll listen to a nasheed from Brother Yusuf. Jazakallah.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, it's great to have some guests here. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala bless them. Allah Ta'ala accept them, inshallah. Just the nasheed, mashallah, that I found maybe a week or about 10 days ago. So inshallah, bear with me, brothers. A nasheed regards to Palestine, Masjid al-Aqsa. And there's a few words that I'd like you to join in with, inshallah. One of the sentences is Hazir hai, Hazir hai. We are here, we are at your service, we are attentive. Hazir hai, Hazir hai, inshallah. If you could join in, it would be great, inshallah. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi kareem. Khoye hai kaha tere nigeba e masjid e aqsa e arze falastin tu dhoond rahi hai sachche musalma e masjid e aqsa e arze falastin hazir hai hazir hai Hazir hai, hazir hai, hazir hai, hazir hai, jaan apni Falastin,
حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین. ہم ایوبی لشکر بن کر ظالم سے لڑیں گے ڈٹ کر, ہم ایوبی لشکر بن کر ظالم سے لڑیں گے ڈٹ کر. اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی. لبیک یا اقصی, لبیک یا اقصی, لبیک یا اقصی, لبیک یا اقصی. حرمت پہ تیری اقصی ہم لوگ لڑیں گے, مرنا ہی ہمیں ہے تو لڑ کر ہی مریں گے. حرمت پہ تیری اقصی ہم لوگ لڑیں گے, مرنا ہی ہمیں ہے تو لڑ کر ہی مریں گے. اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی. حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین. ہم ایوبی لشکر بن کر ظالم سے لڑیں گے ڈٹ کر, ہم ایوبی لشکر بن کر ظالم سے لڑیں گے ڈٹ کر. اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی. لبیک یا اقصی, لبیک یا اقصی, لبیک یا اقصی, لبیک یا اقصی. ہر قلب مسلمان میں ہے آج تیرا غم, دیکھ کے تیری حالت ہر آنکھ ہے ابنم. ہر قلب مسلمان میں ہے آج تیرا غم, دیکھ کے تیری حالت ہر آنکھ ہے ابنم. مولا بھیج کوئی رہبر, مولا بھیج کوئی رہبر کاتے ظلم کا جو ابسر, مولا بھیج کوئی رہبر کاتے ظلم کا اب جو سر. اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی, اے مسجد اقصی. حاضر ہے حاضر ہے, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے, حاضر ہے حاضر ہے جان اپنی فلسطین. ہم ایوبی لشکر بن کر ظالم سے لڑیں گے ڈٹ کر, ہم ایوبی لشکر بن کر ظالم سے لڑیں گے ڈٹ کر. اے مسجد اقصی, 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 اے مسجد اقصی.
جزاک اللہ خیر, جزاک اللہ خیر, جزاک اللہ. Without any further ado, we will call our Sheikh Abu Muhammad to give us an update about what the recent situation is in Gaza, especially in this agreement of the 4-day truce.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. All of us memorize Surah At-Teen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wat-Teeni, wa-Zaytun, wa-Turi, Sinin, wa-Hadha al-Balad, al-Amin. At-Teen wa-Zaytun, fig and olive, and Tur Sinin, a place in Sinai, in Egypt, and Hadha al-Balad al-Amin, Mecca. So Mufassirin said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he made Qasam, he made it in three places. At-Teen wa-Zaytun, the land of fig and olive, it is Palestine, and At-Tur in Sinai, and al-Bayt al-Haram, Mecca or al-Kaaba. And these three places, there are three religions. Musa alayhi salam, he received the message in At-Tur when he saw a fire, and he asked his wife, wait, it was very cold, I'm going to bring some fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly. No mediator, but he didn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Jews believe this is holy, a place for them. And later on, Isa alayhi salam, in Palestine, in Al-Quds, he received the message, and he became messenger in the land of fig and oil and olive. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Islam message in Mecca, in Ghar Hira, when Jibreel came and he asked him to say, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. So three places in three areas, and these three places are مقدس. We believe in Islam, these places are holy, muqaddas for us. And subhanallah al-azim, the only place which all the prophets came, lived or died or buried or visited, it is only Palestine. Sayyidina Isa, he grew up in Palestine and he raised to the heaven from Palestine. And who raised to the heaven before Isa alayhi salam? Sayyidina Idris. Sayyidina Idris, he didn't die on the earth, on the fourth heaven. And subhanallah al-azim, Musa alayhi salam passed away in Sinai. When he escaped from the Pharaoh and the sea was split and he escaped with Bani Israel, 40 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Bani Israel lose their way. They put TomTom, Google, it didn't work, no net. Oh, 40 years. And finally Musa alayhi salam passed away in Sinai, but he made dua, ya Allah, please make me buried in Palestine, in the Holy Land, and the angels took his body. That's hadith in Bukhari. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I am there, I will show you his grave. And Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in night of Isra al-Mi'raj, he came to Palestine. So Palestine is something, it's special in the aqid of the Muslims, that it is land of the Palestine, land of Isra, land of Mi'raj, land of Anbiya. Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Ishaq, Sayyidina Yaqub, Sayyidina Yusuf, Sayyidina Zakariya, Sayyidina Yahya, Sayyidina Dawood, Sayyidina Sulaiman, Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of them. So from that moment up to now, Palestine in our hearts. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, he liberated it from the Romans. And from that day, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah on Masjid Aqsa. And when revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Isra, Subhanahu alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa, it was not Masjid. At that time, it was rubbish. The Jews and the Romans, they used Masjid Aqsa as rubbish, refuse. So, but even that, it was mentioned in the Quran. Anyway, later on, the crusaders came and they occupied Aqsa and they killed 40,000 Palestinians inside the masjid. Wallahi, one of the historians, the French, he said the blood, it was a pool and the horses were walking in the blood of the Muslims. They didn't care. When Salah al-Din liberated it, he didn't kill a single one. No, he gave them money, food, and he said, if you like to go to your country, everything available. This is difference between rahmat of Muslims and the cruelty of the non-Muslims. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Now the history repeating. After Adolf Hitler killed the Jews in Germany and Russians killed the Jews in Russia and in Poland, they came to Palestine as asylum seekers, maskeen, poor, galban, he didn't have a house. The Palestinians welcomed them, ahlan wa sahlan, and we lived together from 1917 up to 1948. Until the Zionists, they have some gangs, they call them Haganah or Stern, and they started to attack the Palestinian villages in 1948 with the British army. They supported them with everything. They attacked our villages. I was not born at that time, but my father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, and two of my brothers, they escaped from our village between Tel Aviv and Gaza, and from that time we live in a refugee camp in Gaza, under very bad situation. Wallahi, I went to school. year one without shoes. Naked. I have no money. I don't remember I took a breakfast when I was a child. Only piece of bread, cup of tea, if you can. And that's it. We lived in very terrible situation. Until 1956, they attacked Gaza. And they occupied Gaza with the British army and the French army. And they occupied Suez Canal. Wallahi, they killed in Gaza, at that time, massacres. In one massacre, in a school in Rafah, they gathered 111 young people, one. They asked them to face the wall, and they shot them all. Unfortunately, no CNN, no Fox News, no Jazeera, no documentation, killed and khalas finished. 1967, I was witness. I was a child. I was in year 8, and I remember the war step by step. We escaped to the farms near the beach. I was ill, I remember, and very thirsty. I couldn't find water. I found a pool with frogs and sarasir, the cockroaches. It was the best drink in my life. Even this, because I was dying. Anyway, we came back to our houses. Some houses demolished. A lot of people, wallahi, in the street killed. And I can't forget when I went to the cemetery. And in Palestine, the people used to dig a room, and they bury the people one beside one. Wallahi, they were opening the grave and put the pieces of bodies. And when it is full, close and open another one. But after that, people started to rebuild themselves in Gaza, and we started to understand what's going on. It is war against Islam. It is not war against piece of land. No. The target is to clean Palestine from every Muslim and establish their own state. And now they said, 7th October, they said, khalas, go live in Egypt and Gaza will be under our control. People refused, even killing, even destruction every day. And people say, why it happened 7th October? The mushkil is not 7th October. This mushkil is occupation. We are under occupation from 1967. And we offered them everything. Let us live together. They said no. Give us part of land? No. Stop your settlements? No. Give our dignity? No. Lift your occupation? No, no, no. Aqsa for us said no. Aqsa for them. They would like to demolish and rebuild Temple Suleiman. This is the situation. It is not only for a piece of land. No. It is part of Aqeedah. Me or you. This is there. And now America, they started to support them. We need Palestine as Jewish state. We didn't hear Christian state or Buddhist state or Muslim state. Land for all the people. One of the Jews, he was discussing with me issue of Palestine, and he said, Allah gave us this land. We called the promised land in Torah. I told him, do you think Allah is the property agent? He distributes lands for you and for me. The land for all the people. Britain for all the British. We live as a multicultural society. Anyway, 7th October, it was like I say, somebody suffering of headache and the doctor give him paracetamol or ibuprofen. This is not a treatment. This is painkiller. You have to go to the reason why I have a headache. Maybe blood pressure. Maybe flu. Maybe shortage of water. Lot of causes or reasons for the headache. If you give paracetamol, you don't treat. You just give him painkiller. And they like to Gaza, cool, be silent, painkiller. People burst. They can't live under occupation forever. For this reason, it was junoon. What happened is unacceptable. They started to kill everything, to demolish everything. You know, normally in 2014, by the way, Israelis, they have our data. They know me, they know my picture, my all information, my house, address on their computer. So just he take your picture, he knows who are you. And they know where are you living. And they know your telephone number. They used to call this house, the owner, yes, Hassan, leave the house, you will bombard it after 10 minutes. So Hassan, he leave, and they demolish. This time, no warning, no call. Straight away. Houses, 40 people, 50 people, because they asked people of north to move to south. Some accepted, and the other said no.
And some of them, they left the house and they went to live in the schools. We have two kinds of schools. Schools for government and schools for UNRWA. UNRWA means United Nations Refugees Agency. It is for United Nations. And the blue flag there. And they bombarded the schools full with people. Some madrasa have 10,000 people, 5,000. One classroom, you can find 10 families. Just they put one blanket as partition, and they live. They lost everything. Imagine your house demolished, and you go with all clothes, with only your clothes. Nothing, no clothes, no cover, no blankets. And this is the situation now. And even people moved to south, they bombarded them again. I live in south. I live in Khan Yunis refugee camp. My house is here, and all our cousins, we live in the same area. 27th October, the F-16 came and bombarded it. In 1 minute, 27 of my cousins, gone. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The video is here. I'll show it to you, inshallah. Without warning. And the main musibat, there is no fuel. All the bulldozers, they can't work. So people with hands, they try to take the rubble. Just last week, they found my cousin's daughter, 9 years old, dead and rotten. And subhanAllah, what's going on is unbelievable. They came to a house of 36 people from Al-Agha family, 36, all of them gone. Al-Hasayna, 91 people, they killed. They live as a family together. And wallahi, in first glasses, I did it when I was a child with the only optician in Gaza. His name is Khurshid. Khurshid is a very delicate man, very rich. He lives in a very nice villa. And all the four brothers are opticians. Just 2 days ago, they bombarded their villa, all the family, the four opticians, wives, children, and the villa. Finished. They are not interested in politics. This family is only for their work. But now in Gaza, every day you hear different news. My cousin Saleh, he is a very simple man. He is not educated. He works with a donkey. What do you call cart? He left his house to bring some food for family. Few minutes, he came back. All the family and the house gone. He carried his, because the cemetery near his house, he carried his wife on his shoulder, and he collected the bodies of the children in a plastic bag, and he buried them alone. No janazah, no salah, no kafar, no ghusl. Because bombing continuously. Now the situation is, you can't imagine. Yesterday, because I heard that there is a ceasefire, straight away I transferred money for my brothers, my money grounds. Today my brother, he didn't find only one exchange money, and he told me 1,000 people in one queue, and the Sarraf said, I can't give, you have to leave your ID. Inshallah, after 3 days, I'll call you to take your money. So we canceled. Even transfer money to a brother, you can't. And Gaza now, they cut it in two pieces, north and south. Gaza, Jabalia, Beit Lahia, Beit Hanun, this is north. And Khan Yunis, Rafah, Deir el-Balah, this is south. My family, south. And my relatives, sister and her children, they moved in my brother's house. 40 people in his house. See this, we are suffering to get some flour only, to make bread. We are not dreaming with meat or fruits, just bread. Suffering. And anyone go from, today there is ceasefire, but Israel is distributed leaflets. If you go from north to south, okay, but from south to north, killed. Some people, they went, they killed 2 and injured 12. They tried just to see what happened to their houses. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, as charity, we are talking from a humanitarian point of view. From the beginning, I started to work, and I know no one can transfer one penny, no any charity. All the charities in UK now, they accumulate money, but they can't. After they started to allow the trucks from Egypt, alhamdulillah, yani coalition of the charities, we are working, IF charity and other charities, they succeed under the banner of Al-Hilal Al-Ahmar Al-Misri, the Egyptian Red Crescent, they allowed us. But today, Jews didn't allow it for north, only for south. And this is musibat. But because alhamdulillah I have relation with the businessmen in Gaza North, I ask them, please give us and inshallah we'll pay later. And from the beginning of the war, I worked in North lot of food parcels, vegetables, flour. And because there is no electricity or gas, we use the wood and oven, you know, tanur, you call it in Urdu, tanur, the clay. And I paid some poor ladies just make a bread and give it free in the madrasas. And even that, it is difficult to get wood, because Gaza is little wood there. So, subhanAllah, it is now clean. Any plastic bottle, any carton, Gaza is clean. You can't find anything available for fire. But people there have sabr. Wallahi, unbelievable. All of them made sabr. Said, don't worry. Shaheed, one of the men, he lost all his family. He bought chocolate and he was distributing. What are you doing? He said, alhamdulillah, shaheed, fi sabilillah, this is barakah. A lady, she didn't cry. She said to her son, she was preparing his wedding next month. She said, inshallah, urs in Jannah, you will get married in Jannah. These people, amazing. And the other who lost his house, said, no problem, we will rebuild it. We are here. We will never leave. And as Sheikh Saeed said about the Hufaz, subhanAllah, Gaza now center of Hufaz. My friend Zahir, he got 7 daughters, and I don't remember how many boys. All the family Hafiz, mashallah. But unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, all of them gone. One was in their house. Inshallah, fi sabilillah. What is the future? As Muslims, we believe what mentioned in the Quran Kareem. That in Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُؤُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا. Inshallah, one day we'll come inside the Masjid Aqsa with victory. And inshallah, we will liberate it. And inshallah, all of us will be pray jama'ah. And it is near future, maybe in your age. Allahu alam, in my age or not, Allahu alam. For that one, the other hadith, it's very famous. لا تزال طائفة أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لعدوهم قاهرين. The translation, Sheikh Saeed, there is a group of Muslims against their enemies, they will defeat. And subhanAllah, they are murabitin. لا يضرهم من خذلهم. خذلهم in Arabic language means if you have a brother or cousin and you are in need and he doesn't help, that means خذل. أعوذ بالله. It is not from adu enemy. No, he is your brother or cousin or neighbor. This is khidlan. And hadith says that this group of Muslims, they don't care about their relatives who didn't support them. And now all the Arabs made khidlan. No single Arab leader said one word. All of them are mute. And I think they agree. They hate Islam. They hate Muslims. They are support the non-Muslims. Subhanallah al-Azim. But hadith says, لا يضرهم من خذلهم. قالوا, where are they, يا رسول الله? He said, في بيت المقدس, في بيت المقدس. When they said, where are they? They said, in Palestine, near Aqsa. And Gaza is not far away from Aqsa. And finally, I don't believe in dreams, but this vision, I call it vision, I was shocked. I have a friend in Gaza. He is رجل صالح. He has, mashallah, very nice heart, praying, simple. And he told me 2 years ago, I saw a vision long time. I said, which vision? He said, wallahi, I made qasam that I saw it clear. The vision is very long, but I will take the last part. He said to me, it will be a war in Gaza. That in 21, he told me this vision. He told me it will be a war in Gaza. And I said, yes, maybe. And he said, the destruction will be unbelievable. I said, no. Yahud, they come, they hit and go. And you know, it is repeated 2009. He said, no. This time will be unbelievable. And what? Wallahi, he said to me, you will see the bodies in Gaza. No one can bury it. And then, told me after that, it will be exchange of prisoners. What? He said, wallahi, I saw it in vision. And later, to me, it will be, inshallah, victory. Israel will be defeated, and the Muslims, inshallah, will be get victory. And now we saw exactly what happened. Destruction, bodies. Just today they buried the bodies, killed long time, but no one can reach them. And today they started after ceasefire. And the destruction everywhere. And he said to me, sewage will be, because no electricity will be in the street. And this is now exactly what he said. And inshallah, his vision will be true, inshallah, shortly. He said that after that, Nasr will come, and inshallah, everything will be okay for Muslims. Subhanallah, in this country, we have few points. Number one, don't forget them from dua, and I am sure that everyone make dua to people of Gaza. Number two, we have to boycott any one support. But it be realistic. Sometimes I receive messages, boycott, boycott, list of hundreds. No, no, no. My opinion, personal, only target the symbols, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, or the French cheese and the cars. You can hit if you focus. Number three, the media. We have to be active in social media and MPs, the people, because we need to change the opinion of the world. And finally, buy money. Every single pound now make difference. And we have to push as much as we can. And the ulama said you can pay your zakat in advance in emergency. So you can pay zakat over next Ramadan now. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may qabool bi'idhnillah. As'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an-nasr lahal Gaza wa al-thabat ya rabbal alameen. Wa nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yansur al-muslimina fi kulli makan. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Abu Muhammad, for enlightening us and updating us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him well. Sheikh Abu Muhammad went through about 170 days of a coma during the COVID period, and subhanallah, 160. And subhanallah, his recovery is miraculous. Someday he will tell you that story as well. I will tell you a bit of it, and that is that the way Sheikh Abu Muhammad woke up, please, Sheikh, the way Sheikh Abu Muhammad woke up is by one of the nurses who was a non-Muslim, and she had said that she'd heard that when somebody is in their terminal days, they're normally Muslims, they listen to Quran. And so she had a friend, a Muslim friend, and on YouTube she found Tilawat of Quran, and she put it on to Sheikh Abu Muhammad. And he was hearing it in his sleep, in his long sleep that he was put to sleep for 160 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala woke him up through that, and it was a miracle. So alhamdulillah, we are so blessed that he's still with us, and we need to benefit from our elders. We have been updated about our situation in Gaza, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten us, and so that we feel the suffering of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to be aware of them. We need to be aware about what's going on. Without further ado, we'll call our Sheikh Ibrahim. Please, Sheikh Tafaddal, who will speak to us about our responsibility towards the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how we can be utilized for their khair, how we can be utilized in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us and is pleased with what we do. On the second or third day, I called in to a friend in Gaza, Ahmed Zakut, his name is. He came to the UK to study in Bradford, and he was living there with us. Then he went back, and he's now helping his people. Subhanallah, the literacy and numeracy rate, yani the education rate in the whole of the Middle East, is the highest in Palestine. There is, I think, 95% or 96% people in Gaza, men and women, hold degrees. And also, they are extremely aware of deen as well. And you probably heard that this time in the bombing, the Islamic University of Gaza has been completely destroyed and demolished. And this is the future. You see, we need to be concerned about the future of our children. And until we do not see the whole ummah of the Prophet ﷺ as ours, and we are from them and they are from us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give us success. So I will invite Sheikh Ibrahim to speak about our responsibilities towards the Palestinian brothers and sisters.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa salatu salam ala sayyid mursaleen. Respected ulama, brothers, elders, same age as, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where do we begin? When you hear a personal testimony like Sheikh Majdi there, subhanallah, it's... he and I go back to 1988, which was the first time I was in Palestine. We were part of a delegation going to see during the first Intifada, see what was happening, because the media picture was telling us here one thing, and we wanted to see, we were hearing different things from our brothers and sisters. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The media is still feeding us rubbish and nonsense. I was busy clearing some documents out. When you get old, as you will get old, inshallah, you start to review your life, and that often takes the case of going through your books, going through your personal possessions, giving them away, so on and so forth. And I've been going through a lot of my old papers, and I came across a document 2 days ago, which was written at least 20 years ago, at least 20 years ago. And it's about... for a seminar, and I'll just read what it is. It's a seminar about what we can do for Palestine. And subhanAllah, you know, you tell me whether anything has changed or not. Because when you look at this, you see campaign deliverables. I'll show you if you need to see it later. We have to highlight the atrocities being committed against Palestinians, war crimes being committed, injustices perpetrated by Israel, and negligence of the world community. There was nobody taking any notice. The only thing which has changed in that is that there are voices speaking up around the world. And it tends to be what they used to call the third world, the global south, because they've all gone through the same thing of seeking independence, of fighting for liberation from occupation. The occupiers, the old imperialist and colonial states in Europe, America, Australia, Canada, these are all the ones who are backing Israel to the hilt. And it's something we've got to be very aware of. We've got to understand that we have a duty as Muslims to do whatever we can. Ours is not a faith of just saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting back and waiting for Jannah. No. In an ayah of Quran, which is mentioned many times in the Quran, and we all know it, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Indeed, those who do good works and, sorry, those who believe and do good works. It's not may do good works or do good works. It's believe and do good works. And how do we know what's a good work? We look at the message of Quran and the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu adkhulu fi silmi kafat. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely, wholeheartedly. Not O you who disbelieve, or outside, you know, embrace Islam. No, you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. We cannot just pick and choose which part of the deen that we like and we can practice. We try as much as we can to do as everything we can possible. So it's not enough for us to sit back and say, well, I believe I'm Muslim, we'll leave it in the hands of Allah, because this is all it's all happening by the will of Allah. We know that. And the test for the brothers and sisters in Palestine is this physical test, this very real physical test. For the first time, people are going very, very hungry in Gaza. For the first time. There's always been enough food allowed in. 15 years ago, 16 years ago, when the siege started, of Gaza in particular, one of the senior members of the Israeli government said, we'll calculate how many calories, how much food, so how many calories are needed so that they'll go on a diet, but they'll not die of starvation. This is how callous they were. Now they've just cut everything off completely. And this is right what they say. This is genocide. And some of the statements of the Israeli politicians, it's very clear. Genocide is their intention. Move south. Where, telling the people in Khan Yunus to move south. There's only Rafah. And then from Rafah, it's into Egypt. Move south for safety. And then we'll bomb you. So they're moving down slowly, slowly, slowly. It's happening. This is genocide happening in real time. We can see it on TikTok, on YouTube, on all of these things, social media. So on the one hand, it's really working in our favor because we can see it with our own eyes, unfiltered news. And what you see on the television, I mean, it's just appalling. It's just appalling. And just everybody recently, your children, some of them here, alhamdulillah, at school, their schools will have received a letter from Prevent Support at the Department for Education talking about prevention of anti-Semitism. So, and I wrote to the department and asked, and schools, I've been involved with Muslim schools since 1984. And I'm still involved, alhamdulillah. We have to teach British values, part of which is democracy, tolerance, freedom of speech, respect for each other, and the rule of law. Said, and I've asked the department, can you tell us how do we teach the rule of law when the Prime Minister, the Foreign Secretary, the Home Secretary, the leader of the opposition support a state which treats international law with utter contempt? We don't have to be dropping bombs on people to commit war crimes. Israel has been committing war crimes for decades. Every settlement in the West Bank and Jerusalem is a war crime. Every settler is a war crime. Every time they arrest somebody in the West Bank and they put them in prison in Israel, it's a war crime. This is happening every day for decades. And now on top of that, they're committing genocide. They're imposing apartheid. B'Tselem, one of the biggest Israeli human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, have all said that Israel has passed the legal threshold for classification as an apartheid state. Apartheid is akin to a crime against humanity. So you've got war crimes, you've got crimes against humanity. What more do you want? So how can we teach children in schools to have respect for the rule of law when our leaders, so-called leaders, show such disrespect for the law? And I've asked the Department for Education that. They're supposed to get back to me within 3 to 5 days. That's what their website says. In 3 weeks, I'm still waiting. I don't expect an answer. But we're still going to work on that. What I suggest, first thing I suggest you can do is go and ask your head teachers where your children's schools are. Ask them, how are you teaching the rule of law? How are you teaching respect for democracy? It was bad enough when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. Every other word he said was a lie. Demonstrably so. It was very clear. How are we supposed to teach this? And when the fact that our leader showed disrespect and total contempt for international law. Ah, but Israel has a right to defend itself, a right of self-defense. It has no right of self-defense against the Palestinians. Check it out. Check out the statements, the written statements by UN officials. There is no right of self-defense by an occupying state against the people under occupation. On the contrary, the people under occupation have a right to resist that occupation by any means, including armed struggle. So again, it's like turned upside down. And the narrative is that Israel is the victim in all of this. The world only started on the 7th of October. No, subhanAllah. 7th of October was a symptom of 75 years of occupation and oppression and military abuse, of massacres, of killings, We shouldn't be surprised that the state of Israel, the Israel Defense Forces, targeting civilians in Gaza. The Israel Defense Forces have always targeted civilians on purpose, deliberately, always. This is not me saying it. It's an Israeli military analyst called Ziv Schiff. He's quoted in a book called Gaza in Crisis by Professor Ilan Pape and Professor Noam Chomsky. Check it out. I think it's page 81 or something. They've always targeted civilians. That's all the Israel Defense Forces are good at, is killing unarmed people, because they've just become an armed police force. They haven't fought a battle against another army for 50 years, 1973, against Egypt, and they lost that. So they're good at beating up people. They're good at killing women and children. We have to start changing the narrative. We have to challenge the narrative, and we mustn't be intimidated. We mustn't be intimidated. It's put forward that this is a Jew-Muslim issue. It's not. You see the number of Jews who are standing up and speaking out against this. Not in my name, they're saying. Not in my name. Earlier this year, I was honored to take part in some speeches with Rabbi David Weiss, who's from Brooklyn. And if you see Rabbi Weiss, check him out online, Naturi Carter, nka.org. NKUSA.org. The big hat, the ringlets, black Palestinian scarf. Big badge saying, I'm a Jew, not a Zionist. All the time. In Brooklyn, his community is tens of thousands strong. When they come here on tours, and there's representatives here living in Manchester, living in London, when they come here, they won't go into any kosher shop which sells Israeli goods. This is ultra-Orthodox Jews boycotting shops. And you go to Birmingham, you can go to other places, and you'll find our Muslim shops, selling goods from Israel, especially fruits and vegetables. Money means more. So boycott is very, very important. We can change the narrative. We get Rabbi Weiss, people like this, they get a lot of pressure. We need to support them, because it's very clear that this is not a Jew-Muslim issue. It's a matter of hat against batil. It's right against falsehood, truth against falsehood. And we have to understand that, and we have to be ready to stand up for that. And I've said for a number of years, my late Harubai, all the Gujaratis here will know what Harubai is, I hope. It's one of the few Gujarati terms that I know. Okay, he was married, we were two men married to two sisters. He's Molana, he passed away now, may Allah give him Jannah. He did a lot of research. Some of you might remember him, about 30 years ago he was coming doing talks about Imam Mahdi Rahdalalai and music, Molana Rashid Karolia from South Africa. He was very, very clear and told me a lot about the coming of Dajjal, the false Messiah. And one of the things which we know from the Hadith is that when he comes, he'll be saying, follow me and you'll go to Jannah. And we know not. You follow him, you'll go straight to Jahannam. And vice versa. Those who refuse to follow him and he kills them, they'll go straight to Jannah. Everything's turned upside down, and we have that today. Halal is haram. The victim is the villain. The villain is the victim. You know, everything's upside down. The good people are made out to be evil. The evil people are made out to be so angelic. As Abu Muhammad said, the Palestinians, 30 years ago, took on the peace process with the Oslo Accords. Everybody was very excited. This could be the beginning of something special. Israel has never done anything that it was supposed to do by the Oslo Accords. Every concession made has to be made by the Palestinians. Israel hasn't made a single concession. They won't even mention the state of Palestine. They won't even mention the word Palestine or Palestinians. 20% of the population, 20% of the Israeli citizens are Palestinians. I don't know if you know that. 1 in 5 is a Palestinian inside Israel. And yet, 3-4 years ago, they introduced, not even that, 2 years ago, they introduced a law to make it that it's a Jewish state. And only the Jewish community have the right of self-determination within Israel. So 1/5 of the population is disenfranchised straight away. And this is the only democracy in the Middle East. We're being fooled. The world is being fooled. And we have to stand up and say, I'm sorry, this is all wrong. And alhamdulillah, people are saying this. And it's not the Muslims who are saying it. It's non-Muslims who are coming forward and saying it. Check out Professor Norman Finkelstein on YouTube and all this sort of thing. You know, they're saying it. Yes, there is fascism in Gaza. He's not talking about Hamas. He says to himself, he said, I'm not talking about Palestinians. I'm talking about the Israeli soldiers, the Israeli government. That's the only fascism you've got there. Not so long ago, a senior Israeli officer said, if we wanted to see how we deal with Gaza, okay, Gaza always has to be dealt with. It's always an issue to be dealt with. Why? Because the people there cannot be bribed. They can't be bought. They're silenced and they cannot be bought. They're very honorable people, alhamdulillah. But they're saying it's, you've got to see what's happening in Gaza. And what this man said, well, this senior military officer, in order to deal with Gaza, we need to look at how the Nazis dealt with the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II. Now, if you or I come out and say that, straight down, go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect £200. It's a very, very serious issue. But we have to challenge this narrative. So it means we have to be in touch with the media. When we hear things being said, counter it. But make sure we're speaking from fact, good sources. Hamas is a terrorist organization, according to the government here. We may disagree with that. There's very good reasons why we should disagree with that. And there's actually some people putting together legal moves under the Anti-Terrorism Act to have that designation removed. Mufti Saeed did me a bit short there when he said I was chair of Interpol from 1997 to 2000. It was a bit longer than that, Mufti Saeed. It was from 1997 to 2020. So 96 actually, anyway, alhamdulillah. We were designated by the USA as a global terrorist entity in 2003. I know how these things are done. Not a scrap of evidence, not a scrap of proof is brought forward. There's no due process. You don't get called in and you get, a chance to argue your case, no. Israel, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, sends a list to the United States and the President stamps it, done. These are the people, these are the organizations, we want them to be listed as a terrorist organization, done. When we were listed in 2003, the first I knew about it was on the BBC website. It was the August bank holiday weekend, it was a Friday evening, and I was looking at this, US designates as terrorists, and there was our name on there. So I know, Interpol had the most bureaucratic system you can imagine, because we knew this was the sort of thing. We knew right from almost day one we were accused of supporting terrorism. One newspaper in this country accused us of stealing $100 million from the Palestinian people. Okay? From Hamas, actually. So we're stealing from Hamas. A newspaper in Italy accused us of giving Hamas $100 million. So we just said, well, forget about Hamas. We'll just keep the $100 million ourselves. Why do you want to? That's the sort of nonsense. There's no logic to their arguments. But once they throw this sort of thing into the public domain, the mud sticks. So our bank accounts were eventually closed. But not before we fought our case in a number of libel actions against newspapers and Zionist organizations. You have to challenge these things. And eventually our lawyer in New York, who's a Jewish guy called Michael Krinsky, he was told by the US Treasury, which maintains this terrorist list, look, tell your clients not to waste it, not to spend any more money on legal fees, because this wasn't to do with whether they'd broken the law or not. This was a purely a political decision to put them on this list. And that's, we'll need the State Department to take us off that list. And that's not going to happen. This was the time when Donald Trump was President of the United States. They're all as bad. Everybody thought Joe Biden's the nice guy, didn't they? Look at him, subhanAllah. You know, why? He wasn't Donald Trump, so he must be good. Well, we're seeing his true colors now. So we know when anybody's accused of this terrorism or anything like that, you know, you go to the Middle East, the governments don't like your face, you're a terrorist. It's taken on the form that when everybody's a terrorist, nobody is a terrorist, because it means nothing. And when the real terrorist comes along, we all know the story of the boy who cried wolf. When the real terrorists come along, nobody will take any notice, because, you know, everybody's a terrorist. So we have to challenge this narrative. And we have to make sure that we boycott. Don't say, and as Abu Muhammad said, you know, this huge list, you don't go here, you end up, it's like when the Bani Israel were asked to slaughter a cow by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Slaughter a cow, easy, go and get a cow, bismillah, Allahu Akbar. No, how old, what color, narrowed it down, made it harder and harder and harder. This is going to be the same thing when you have this huge list of boycott things. Makes it harder and harder and harder to do anything, and you'll give up. Simple. Choose one or two of the big companies and make sure as many people as possible boycott those companies, and they will notice. They will notice. Contact your MPs. Your MP here was voted against the ceasefire. Battley and Spen voted against a ceasefire. Remember that, please, next time there's the election. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago in Bradford, and already in Bradford they're talking about standing independent candidates away from the main parties. We may not get in, but you'll give them a shock, because they will lose votes, and it will be a shock. You never know, we might get in. We might get people who go in there who are speaking the voice. Ask your councillors the same thing. In Bradford, the brothers were asking, but then if all the councillors resign, who's going to be our voice there? I asked, are they speaking with your voice? Are they speaking what you want them to speak? Or are they speaking what they want and telling you what you should be thinking? So we've got to start being a bit more independent about this. And don't be intimidated. And when it comes to dua, this is the strongest weapon of the believer. It's the best thing we've got. Sincere dua. But remember, you're asking Allah for something. Allah asks us very little. Allah asks us to do very little. The most important of which is 5 times salah. If you're not getting up for fajr, how can you expect Allah to listen to your dua? And this is, I've heard in Palestine years ago, that the Israelis will be worried when the mosques are as full at Fajr as they are on Salat al-Jummah. That's when they will be worried. And in Palestine, you see this. You see this. This is why they try and stop people going to the masjid. This is why they bomb the mosques. It's another war crime. Bombing civilian infrastructure is a war crime. Bombing hospitals, look what they've been doing in hospitals. It's war crime. Bombing church. One of the oldest churches in the Christian world is in Gaza. It's from the 4th century. They're bombing it. No respect for anything. It's just destruction, destruction, destruction. They claim to love the Holy Land. They've destroyed the Holy Land. The West Bank is destroyed. It's got this huge scars. The wall, the separate roads just for the settlers. The settlements, they're the ugliest things, and they're all on hilltops. So they dominate, very good from a military perspective, they dominate the valleys around. The settlers complain of the noise from the minarets, the noise of the adhan, so that the adhan gets banned. In Gaza, the mosques get blown up. SubhanAllah. But in Gaza, the people just go wherever the mosque was and they'll make their salah there anyway. Gaza is something very, very special. Mufti Saab mentioned before, I'll finish on this by SubhanAllah, mentioned before about the Hufaz coming out of Gaza. I remember we were there maybe 2013. We had Jeremy Corbyn with us. We had Sarah Tether, who was a Liberal Democrat MP, and we had a guy called Philip Hollobone, who was a Conservative MP. He still is a Conservative MP. We took them there. We took them to the Islamic University, which is my university. It's Abu Muhammad's university. Alhamdulillah, I've got an honorary doctorate from the Islamic University there. It's a fantastic place, and they've destroyed it. It's another war crime. Which democracy destroys places of education? Wallahi. Trying to destroy knowledge. It just doesn't happen. But it doesn't Israel. And Israel somehow gets away with it. Why? We have to ask ourselves this. And move beyond this purely political thing and say, what about Imam Mahdi Rahmatullah Alayh? What about the return of Isa alayhi salam when Jesus, peace be on him, comes? What about Dajjal? Al-Masih al-Dajjal, the false Messiah. Before he died, one of the senior rabbis in Israel about 6-7 years ago, he said, everything is in place for the Messiah. Everything's in place for the Messiah. They're not talking about Isa alayhi salam. This is the Dajjal. Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal in Lod, which is where Ben Gurion Airport is in Israel, in Palestine. So people have been asking me for years, Ibrahim, when you come and talk somewhere, you speak about Muslim education and Palestine. Why Palestine? When there's been so many other things around the world, just since I've been a Muslim, alhamdulillah, the last 40-odd years, we've had Iran-Iraq war, we've had Bosnia, we've had Chechnya, we've had Afghanistan more than once, we've had Libya, we've had Sudan, all these things around the Muslim world. Destruction, death, killing, fitna. Why? I believe, it's just my opinion, but I believe that it's to distract our attention from Palestine, because this is the land blessed by Allah's Abu Muhammad said. It's the only place that we know of where all of the Anbiya, all of the prophets, peace be on them, prayed at one time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have taken Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to the heavens straight away. No problem. That's easy for Allah. He didn't. He took him to Al-Quds first, Al-Aqsa. But Al-Aqsa is not the buildings. It's the place. It's the place of sajda. The place where people were prostrating. So don't think about it. It's the bricks and the mortar and the dome and this, that, the other. No, it's the place. He took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there first. He prayed with all the Anbiya. Then he went to heavens. Then back again. This is how it's close. Masjid al-Aqsa is the only masjid mentioned by name in the Quran apart from Masjid al-Haram.
Yes, but then only 5,000 allowed to pray.
Yeah. And it can take hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah. It can take hundreds. It's just nothing. And you've got to be, you know, you've got to have grey beards for the men to get in. It's unbelievable. So let's look at this on this sort of picture. This is such a very, very important place. Yes, we know there's probably poverty on a worse scale in other parts of the world. We know that. This is the place. The Palestinians are there defending Al-Aqsa. Gaza's only about 50 kilometers from Al-Aqsa, if that, from north of Gaza. It's very close. But I know some students, some young, inshallah, they'll be ulama, didn't even know that Al-Aqsa is in Jerusalem. Yeah, we need to be discussing these things. We need to be explaining these things. We need to be letting the people know the importance of Palestine. It's not just that people are having bombs dropped on their heads. They're having bombs dropped on their heads for a very, very, very specific reason. This is not Israel versus Hamas. This is Israel challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this thing about them, God give us the land. It's very, very specific. If you speak to Rabbi Weiss and others like him, they'll tell you, yes, the Jews were the chosen people. The Bani Israel were the chosen people. There was a contract between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had to fulfill the terms of that contract, and they didn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, they didn't. And even the likes of Rabbi Weiss and them will tell you, we didn't fulfill the contract. This is why we're in exile. And it's haram, whatever the Judaic version of haram is, it's haram for them to come back and constitute a state before the Messiah comes. Now, whether they mean Isa alayhi salam, because these are people who will practice the Torah, they practice their faith. Not like Netanyahu and all these lot. Most Israelis are atheists. They don't believe, but they believe that Allah gives them the land, but they don't believe in Allah. You tell me, you go figure. The Palestinians started talking in 93. Hamas was persuaded against its own judgment to take part in the elections in 2006. To everybody's surprise, including Hamas, it won those elections in 2006. It was immediately boycotted. They've done everything that's been asked of them, and they get nothing in return. They get bombs in return. So what else are they supposed to do? So let's start really working together and changing this. I had a whole list of things. I always make notes about these things when I come to give talks, but I never bother reading. It's very, very clear. Very clear. I just want to give some ideas of what you can do. Remember, anti-Semitism is a crime. And rightly so, it's racism. No Muslim is a racist. Zionism is the political ideology. It's a duty, because it's an evil ideology. SubhanAllah. Okay. So at the very least, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, said that he heard the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, whoever of you sees an evil action, I'm sorry, my Arabic isn't good enough to be able to say it in Arabic, let him change it with his hand. If he's not able to do so, then with his tongue. If he's not able to do so, then with his heart. And that's the weakest of faith. So at the very least, we should hate what's going on and try and change it. But we should hate it with our hearts, change it with our tongue, speak out, raise awareness. Okay? Withdraw your support. Don't be election pushovers. Make dua. Dua is dhikr, great form of dhikr. Raises awareness. Look how many people are coming to Islam because of what they see, the Palestinians, their sabr. And their absolute yaqeen in their children, their wives, their families, their fathers and mothers. Our wives, our children, our fathers, mothers have gone straight to Jannah. SubhanAllah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allahu Akbar. How many times? Give in charity. It's not easy at the moment, Abu Muhammad said, and Mufti Sahib will be able to let you know. It's not easy at the moment. But the stuff is getting in there slowly through Egypt into Gaza. And the boycott of Israeli goods. They're trying to make the boycott, divestment, and sanctions organization and campaign, which started in Palestine. They're trying to make it illegal. There's a law being pushed through at the moment banning local authorities from saying, no, we will not buy or services or goods from companies which benefit from the illegal settlements in Israel. So check the labels. Take part in protests. People say, well, what good does it do? You go down to London, there's three quarters of a million or whatever it was. There's another demonstration today in London. Hundreds of thousands of people. What good does it do? I'll tell you what good it does. It shakes the foundations of those in power, and it lets the Palestinians know that they haven't been forgotten. And I'm going to say something Abu Muhammad will have heard me say it before. He'll know it about. Mufti Saab's heard me say it before. We tried to help a young girl, Amal. In 2008, 2009, she was blown up. Her father was killed in front of her. Her baby brother was killed in front of her. And I saw her on TV in a documentary about the family. And she's got 15 pieces of shrapnel in her brain. And when we saw her, she was 11 years old. At the time, it was 9 years old. So we saw her when she was 11. And we got all her medical records, and we brought them to this country, and we spoke to some of our contacts in the medical profession, very senior surgeons. Asked them, can we do anything? This will be a great boost for the family, for the community, to see that we're doing something. And they looked at it, and they worked things. They said, look, it's embedded too deeply in the brain. It's very, very dangerous to go in there. So unless you're suffering from a life-threatening issues because of that, then it's best to leave it alone. We had to go back to this 11-year-old child. He said, Amal, I'm so sorry, we cannot do anything for you. She turned around, 11 years old. She said, Uncle, Ammu, said, don't worry, at least I know you're thinking about me. We cannot overestimate how much this means. So taking part in protests, taking part in meetings like this, speaking about Palestine, speaking about the issue to our colleagues, to our families, to our children, encouraging schools to do something. 29th of November is the UN International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. There'll be events in the United Nations all over. Why can't our schools do something? Ask them. Take them flags. Give them flags. Put the flags up. Let the children wear the flags. Carry the flags. Let the children wear Palestinian colors. And if anybody says, well, where's the political balance? This is not about politics. This is the United Nations. This is the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, not with anybody else. You want to do it with anybody else? Do it on other days. But this day, 29th of November, is for Palestine. Ask them, do this. Most of all, brothers, be united. All too often, we're disunited. We don't, our beard's not long enough. We raise our hands in salah before going to ruku, or we don't, and it's different, and we've got different matha, blah, blah, blah. SubhanAllah. Imam Shafi rahmatullah came from Gaza. When he went to Baghdad, great center at the time of the Hanafi fiqh, he prayed the same way as Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, out of respect. So if we have differences, show respect. Let's be united. And lastly, Jazakallah Khair, you've been so patient. He told me you can speak as long as you like. Or not quite, but anyway. Lastly, don't expect anybody else to do anything. All too often, well, the Saudis are not doing anything, the Emiratis are not doing anything, this one's not doing anything. If we're waiting for them to do something, we'll never do anything. Don't expect it. Don't wait for other people to do something. The mosque's not doing anything. You do it. You do it. Last Saturday, we had a march in Nuneaton in Warwickshire. For those of you who know Nuneaton, it's a very small community. It's one masjid. SubhanAllah, the crowd there, we had about 1,000 people there walking through to the town centre and giving it what's worth. First time there's ever been a thing like that. But when they're trying to go beforehand, trying to raise support, people are asking, has the mosque approved it? The mosque had very good reasons for not getting involved, because at the time there's a lot of right wing, it's a very strong right wing area, and they were worried about attacks on the mosque. So there's, you know, don't wait for other people. Do it. Whatever you can do, do it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. Amen. Guide us and keep us on the straight path. Let us live as Muslims and die as Muslims. Amen. Protect us from the horrors of the grave, from temptations of shaitan, and from the fitna of Dajjal. Amen. Because the fitna of Dajjal is going to be the biggest fitna that the world has ever seen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yasifun. Wa salamu ala mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ya Rahman. Jazakallah khair.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh Ibrahim. This was Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt. Allah put barakah in his age, in his life, as well as our Sheikh Abu Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us the opportunity to benefit from these people, these elders. Without taking more of your time, I will just tell you about the appeal for IF Charity. IF Charity has been working in Gaza since 2009. And alhamdulillah ta'ala, like Abu Muhammad explained, that at this moment in time we are doing what we possibly can. And what we can at this moment in time is that, as Abu Muhammad mentioned, that we are trying to feed as many people as we possibly can by our contacts with businessmen who have supplies in warehouses, those warehouses that have not yet been bombed. And we're trying to provide the basic medical needs and the basic hygiene kits for our mothers and sisters and children. We also need to understand the fact that diseases are spreading now purely because people do not have access to clean water. So we are trying to provide drinking water as well as water for bathing. The hospitals are not functioning at this moment in time, and we are not able to get anything in apart from in these 4 days of truce. We've also launched an appeal for ambulances. Now, the unfortunate situation is, like Abu Muhammad mentioned, that, you know, in time of difficulty, when your brother is not willing to assist and help, and the countries around Gaza are unfortunately not willing to assist and help, which means that it's become even more difficult for us. Before, an ambulance would normally cost between £15,000 to £20,000. This time is costing up to £30,000 kitted out. Egypt wants us to buy the ambulances from them so that they benefit, and then they are holding them on the Rafah. There is aid in Al Arish. Our operation teams are there. Abu Yusuf Isam Mustafa has been between Turkey and Egypt and the countries trying to facilitate. So, and we owe a lot of money to businessmen inside Gaza, so we are making an appeal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahu fi auni al-abdi madam al-abdu fi auni akhi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the continuous help of his believer, his person, until he is in the help of his brother. And even though this next hadith that I'm going to tell you is weak by narration, but the ulama say, and Mufti Sahib is sat here, you can ask him, that to take a hadith of virtue, fada'il, even if the sanad is weak, is acceptable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that al-khalqu ayalullah, the creation of Allah are the dependents of Allah. Ayal in Arabic means family. Allah is back from a family. He doesn't need a family. But we need Allah, so we are the dependents of Allah. فَأَحَبُّكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنُ إِلَىٰ عَيَالِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good with those people who are good with his creation. And if I am good with your family, you will automatically be good with me. And we have a responsibility to the suffering ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not because of them, is because of ourselves. And I will leave you with this thought that is riwayat of Israeliyat. Mufti Saab will tell you that لا يصدق ولا يكذب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that we do not wholeheartedly accept what the riwayat of Israeliyat say, and we do not fully reject because there may be some truth in them. It is said in riwayat of Israeliyat that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and by the way he was also from Palestine, he was from Al-Khalil, which they now call Hebron, and he is buried there as well. And the Jews claim that he was their father of their religion as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Jaddul Anbiya wa Mujaddidul Anbiya. He was the grandfather of Anbiya and he was the reformer of Anbiya. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was from Sayyidina Ibrahim, from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And the other Anbiya were from the lineage of Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was thrown into the fire by Nimrud, the king at the time. And a small bird in his beak brought some water and dropped some water over the fire. Somebody asked the bird, what would your drop of water in your beak do to the fire? He said, I'm not responsible for what it will do to the fire or not. Because Allah Azza wa Jal was responsible for the fire. He said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Allah said to the fire, become cold. Fire has a burning quality only if Allah wants. And it will not burn if Allah does not want. So he said to the fire, كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Become peaceful for Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was relaxing in this fire. Subhanallah, a miracle of Allah. So the bird said that I'm not responsible for what happened or will happen with Ibrahim in the fire, but I want my name to be in the list of lovers of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is said in Riwayat Islaiyat that a lizard, chipkali, as they say in Urdu, blew on the fire trying to increase it. Somebody asked the lizard, what will your blowing do to the fire? Will it increase this fire? He says, no, I want my name to be in the haters of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to make a conscious decision. Remember the non-believers, they always say, which side are you on? Do you condemn? Yeah, we condemn everything that is batil, and we condone, and we are on the side of everything that is haqq. And we are in this because of Allah. We took the side of Allah, so we are in this. So we will now anfiqu, we will spend in Allah's path, and we will speak in Allah's path, and we will physically walk or run in the path of Allah, and we will help and assist whatever khair. My Ustaz Mufti Nizamuddin Shamzai Rahmatullah Alayhi in Karachi, he once said, and I will say in Urdu for those people that understand Urdu, and then I will translate for you. Yeah? He said, Is gaye guzre door mein, agar koi adna munasibat se khair ka kaam kar raha ho, agar uska haath nahi bata sakte, to raasta bhi nahi rokna chahiye. In this era of illusion and delusion, a lost era that we are living in, is at the beginning of the end, is the end of times. Yeah? And we are seeing in front of us the fitan of Dajjal. Yeah? Ma zahara minha wa ma batan. They are opening in front of us. Allah protect and preserve us all. In this era of illusion and delusion, if somebody is doing something, anything of goodness, of khair, if we cannot help and assist them, then the least we can do is we not stop them. So if somebody is doing anything of khair, help and assist in whatever way we can. And that is the motto of Islam. And that is, and Allah Azza wa Jal says numerous times in the Quran, especially in Surah Muhammad, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا, and if you turn your backs, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, I will replace you with another people. If, like Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt said, that if the Saudis and somebody else, the countries around, their leaders, by the way, not the people, the people are all suffering under their leaders, if they were to turn their backs from Islam, and if they hate Islam, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. He's a living manifestation of the fact that in 1981, 3 months before I was born, he accepted Islam and Allah is utilizing him. And I can see some other brothers here. Did you accept Islam? How old were you when I accepted Islam? 13, mashallah. And how old are you now? 16. Allah bless you, steadfastness and commitment. If we turn away, Allah will get him to accept Islam. Your name? Abu Bakr. Allah make you Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. Umar. When did you accept Islam? Together? Allah bless you, steadfastness. Allah bless you, commitment. Allah utilize you for khair. Allah utilize us all for khair. In whatever way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us. And the last thing I will leave you with, I always say last thing, and Sheikh Ibrahim always laughs at this, yeah? The last thing. One of the very famous speakers, he said this, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, he dangles in front of you an opportunity of khair. Goodness. Yeah? And this is momentarily temporary. He will dangle in front of you an opportunity of goodness. And it's up to us to grab it and take it. And this is a moment. If we do, it becomes something that we depend on this success in this world and in the Akhirah. And if we leave it, we lose out in this world and also in the Akhirah. And the story he tells is beautiful. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he used to go around the people trying to find out what state they are in. So one day he's taken Abdurrahman ibn Auf with him, and he's going around trying to find out at night time, by the way, halat of the ummah, what state is my people in? So he's gone and he finds a tent in the distance, and there's some light coming from this tent. And there seems to be a woman in extreme pain inside the tent, and there's a young man sitting outside with his head in his hands, extremely worried and in distress. He approaches and he says, young man, who are you and what are you doing here? He said, I'm a traveler, musafir. I'm going past here, and my wife was in labor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a child, and she is in delivery. He runs home. And he says to his wife, Umm Kulthum. Okay, not the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another Umm Kulthum. And he says, sorry, daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Some people will have you believe that they had mushkil between them. He's married the daughter of Ali. For the sake of Allah. Look, how did they have animosity in between them? They didn't. The Sahaba had no animosity between them. They had differences. Yes, everybody's different in this room. We're all different. We all have different backgrounds and we come from different walks of life. And this is the beauty of Islam, that we all stand in one saf, regardless of where we come from, what color we are. And there is no room for anti-Semitism in Islam, there is no room for racism in Islam. There is the most, and Sheikh Ibrahim Hewitt, if you ever get a chance, listen to his story of accepting Islam and how he then went to South Africa and the time of apartheid. Israel is a regime of apartheid. This is what's wrong about it. And we must understand this, and our youngsters must understand this. That apartheid is wrong, is a racist regime. And how Sheikh Ibrahim went to South Africa and he wasn't allowed in certain areas purely because of his skin color. And then when he came into the masjid, he stood with people of different colors. I will finish upon this. On the words of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came to his wife and he said, listen carefully, هَلْ لَكِ فِي أَجْرٍ سَاقَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكِ. Do you want a bit of the khair that Allah has dangled in front of you? Do you want to grab an opportunity of goodness that Allah has put in front of you? Or do you want to leave it? What do you want to do? And without questioning, she joined him. She put on her khimar and she ran with Umar ibn al-Khattab. They came upon the tent. The young man had been out of extreme distress and he was upset. He had been kind of rude to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, oh, old man, if you walk on,
You won't be able to help me. You know, this is a situation which you won't be able to help me in. So when his wife went into the tent and the baby was delivered, she said from inside the tent, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, glad tidings to you and to my brother outside. Allah has blessed him with a son. He shivered and he said, Are you Amir al-Mu'mineen? Umar ibn al-Khattab, forgive me, I was rude to you. Forgive me, I was rude to you. My dear brothers, there's so many lessons from this story. One of the lessons is that to be utilized for khair without wanting the credit is an honor which only the Sahaba had. And in this age of social media and selfies, where everybody wants to be known for what they are doing, if we adopt this character of the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shine as in this world and He will shine as in the Akhirah. And many a times, those people who have worked purely for the sake of Allah in this world, for His pleasure alone, seeking His pleasure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them unimaginable fame. When? After they have left this dunya. And they were unknown when they were in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رب أشعث مدفوع الأبواب. There are some people of this ummah of mine that they are extremely simple and nobody batters an eyelid when they see them. And if they were to knock on somebody's door, they would be turned away as, what do you want? مدفوع الأبواب. But their connection with Allah will be so close that لو أقسم على الله لأبره. If they were to swear upon Allah that Allah will do something, even if Allah didn't plan to do, but He will do it just to save His face. So amongst the many things that have been said today, the one thing that we must build is our connection with Allah. And our connection with Allah will make us al-mu'mineen al-qawi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun min mu'min al-da'if. A strong believer is better than a weak believer. Strength in our belief and conviction. Strength, and there is nobody at this moment in time, I don't know illa ma sha Allah, than the people of Gaza, who when they are picking up their children and putting them in their pieces in carrier bags, they're saying, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for us, and He's sufficient as a representative, as a solicitor, as a lawyer for us. And this is extremely scary for those people who are committing the oppression and the zulm, because all these people are becoming witnesses. Have you ever realized the word for martyr in Arabic is shaheed? What does shaheed mean? He has witnessed the oppression and the atrocity against him or her. And he, on the day of Qiyamah, you see, there is a certain protection that the state gives in a criminal case to the witness. Yes, it's called the witness protection program. And the witness protection program is that the state makes sure that nothing happens to this witness, because they are the pivotal, the main person in this case. Their witness is everything. If they witness in this case, the criminal will be tried and they will be punished. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be a witness box. And Allah Azza wa Jal will put in all the shuhada. Imagine, picture it, visualize it. The shuhada will be stood in this witness box. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every one of them, they will give witness to the oppression and the crimes. My ustaz used to say, Shukr karo Allah ta'ala ka ki Allah ne qiyamat bhi paida ki hai. You should be glad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the day of justice, qiyamah. And Allah will serve justice on that day. Islam is totally, totalitarianly about justice. There's no concept of the so-called Western equality in Islam. Islam is about justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses tawfiq to do justice first of all with ourselves, then with our families and our children and our communities, and then with the wider ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the concern for the ummah. Yeah? Maybe we might be forgiven for our weaknesses, purely because of the concern we had for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We hear so often, so many times, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have sleepless night, and he would say, "Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati," in this world, and he will be saying the same in dunya, when the rest of the messengers will be approached by their ummas, and even this ummah, and they will tell Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, "You intercede for us." The other messengers, oh messengers of Allah, intercede, and they will all say, "No, on this certain occasion, I did this, and I am afraid or ashamed to intercede for anybody in front of Allah." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam will be the only person that will intercede on the day of Qiyamah for this ummah and all the other ummas as well. Make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. Inna alladhina amanu, those people who believe, wa'amilu salihat, like Sheikh Ibrahim said, and perform good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses opportunity of performing good deeds. Please donate generously towards the Qiyamah. I mean, we have card machine as well. You can donate via card. We also have leaflets that you can do direct debits. Okay, whatever you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you tawfiq, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. We had a sponsorship program of orphans and needy children before this bombing campaign, which was £25 would be sufficient for sponsoring a needy child. Needy child meant that child who had parents or any one of their parents wasn't an orphan, and their needs were met by this family, the financial needs, and also an orphan in this bombing. Those that have survived, there will be hundreds and thousands of orphans. Hundreds of thousands. And kifalatul yateem is the responsibility of the ummah. If not financially, in any other way, in whatever way we can. Yeah. The biggest asset that we have is not mal, is not buildings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left this world, Masjid al-Nabawi was dripping. The ceiling was dripping, the roof was dripping. And there was no structure of madrasa. There was Ashab al-Suffa, the people of Suffa, students, but there was no madrasa as in the structure. The biggest asset we have is our children, the children of this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses tawfiq to bring them up as true and genuine and sincere Muslims, obedient to Allah and the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So donate generously wherever you can, in however way you can, whether it's direct debit, whether it's card, or whether it's, and our office is 922 Leeds Road in Bradford, and you can ask us about any other campaign that you want to take part in. I will give now to Mufti Sahib to make dua and to conclude this gathering.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله علانيته وسره حق أنت أن تعبد وحق أنت أن تحمد وأنت على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم وترحم وتحنن على نبينا محمد اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وأنصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم اللهم انصرهم اللهم انصرهم اللهم اجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا اللهم عليك بأعداء الدين اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم أنزل عليهم بأسك الذي لا يرد عن القوم المجرمين اللهم أنزل عليهم ريح عاد وصيحة ثمود وطوفان قوم نوح اللهم زلزل أقدامهم، اللهم شتت شملهم، وفرق جمعهم، اللهم فرق جمعهم، اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان، اللهم انصر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وأتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم، وصلي اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك. Inshallah, refreshments will be served for all brothers in the classrooms.
Dear brothers, I forgot to mention two things. And the first is that I'm going to make a request to the masjid and Brother Imran Bhai that if you can allow the campaign to carry on, for it's entirely up to you if after you make mashwara. And the second is that Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We have some merchandise outside. You know, we have some musallas and some scarves. And if you want to take part in the ambulance campaign, this is a non-zakat request, and we are trying for 27 ambulances. At this moment in time, there are only 7 ambulances operating in the whole of the Gaza Strip, which is 27 miles by 4 miles. Only 7 ambulances are left. So we are trying for 27 ambulances. One ambulance is costing 30,000, and this is a non-zakat project because we cannot utilize zakat for ambulances. If you want to take part in this, then inshallah we will. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.